See, am I doing things right? Connor, are you there?
I am. Can
okay,
you hear me?
Good. Too many buttons for this guy. Connor, today you wanted to talk about Obamacare, but specifically about the all these doctors who are like, I'm out.
Yeah, you know, we've seen some of this happen since Obamacare was originally passed. Again, to be more literal, we're talking about the aptly named or not so aptly named Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, otherwise known by everyone as simply Obamacare. And we've seen stuff since it was passed roughly, I don't know, like a year and a half ago, where there's been a lot of protests, there's been a lot of concern, people have been dropped. This is really symptomatic of unintended consequences. And of course, I often put a question mark on that because you have to sometimes wonder, are they really unintended? You know, you can only help but speculate as to whether someone is actually trying to drive the system into the ground or if they are so naively ignorant that they feel that these policies that they're pushing will, in fact, do the things they claim that they will. And I'm so often reminded when we discuss stuff like this of the excellent words of Frederick Bastiat, hopefully a name that is familiar to every one of your listeners. If not, they need to go Google Frederick Bastiat, The Law. The little booklet, very short, but so packed with excellent detail. And in some of his other writings, he introduces the economic principle of trying to understand things that are not seen, is how he said it. Now, he's kind of a contemporary with the Founding Fathers, so he wrote this quite long ago, but it is so important for our day. There's one quote that I wanted to read, and it's really the central underpinning of everything we talk about, whether with Obamacare or so much of the other economic interventions that government does. So Bastiat says, "There is only one difference between a bad economist and a good one. The bad economist confines himself to the visible effect, basically what he can see. The good economist," Bastiat says, "takes into account both the effect that can be seen and those effects that must be foreseen." In other words, if we're myopically looking at what the government claims is going to happen or what their tight little calculations and formulas are predicting will happen, they don't take into account human action. They don't take into account the individual and sovereign will of each person who's being affected by these policies. They try and abstract us all into these formulas by which they can attempt to predict, well, you know, Obamacare will, you know, increase access insurance coverage for X number of people. Well, they don't understand that, for example, many businesses are simply choosing, whether currently or soon in the future, as Obamacare, the full enactment and implementation comes in early 2014, many of these businesses are outright refusing to even participate. They would rather pay the fine, something like $2,000 per employee, to suffer and pay the fine, the penalty that comes along with it, rather than get involved in all of the nightmarish bureaucratic paperwork that's involved. Another quote-unquote unintended consequence that happens is that there's a 50-employee definition in the statute for what a small business is, the exemption that can be made for people not having to provide these benefits to their employees. So what happens? Well, that restrains growth. That means that companies are not going to want to go from employee, you know, 50 to 51, because in so doing, they heap upon themselves all of this paperwork that they have to comply with, these benefits that they have to provide, the costs that are involved with that. And so it really stunts the growth of companies who, because of these regulations, opt not to grow. We see a similar thing, of course, tangentially with the New York City soda ban, right, that over a certain number of ounces you cannot sell to the public in certain locations. Well, then people just buy two of the medium-sized bottles. They alter their economic behavior based on the regulations and restraints that are imposed upon them. So whereas before, you know, the mayor of New York City, Bloomberg, may say, well, this is going to be great, people aren't going to drink as much, and they'll become this much more healthy according to our formulas, that's simply not the case. Maybe they'll get two medium drinks, which totals more than the large drink that's been banned, so in fact they are drinking more. You see it in toilets, right? The list is very long. I get very excited about this, and you know, but just a final absurd one, and then I'll continue, is the flushing power, the amount of water that can be used in toilets, right, to save the planet and conserve water, these impositions that are being made on toilet manufacturers and thus on the people who use them, the individual consumer, that because the flush is not powerful enough, there's not enough suction with one single flush with more water, because of this regulation, people are now having to flush their toilets two or three times just to get the waste down and out of the toilet. And so you end up actually wasting and using more water than you otherwise would have. There's so many absurd examples like this, and that's why I think the Bastiat quote is so example that a good economist, or just even a commonsensical, you know, functioning, thoughtful, intelligent individual should be able to foresee the interventions and the consequences that these policies will produce. I love the quote by Ron Paul where he says, "The free market economics teaches that for every government action to solve an economic problem, two new ones are created," right? And so it's like the game of whammy or whatever that thing is where you try and hit the gopher's head and then like two other ones pop up and you try and hit those and they just proliferate. It's another quote from Thomas Sowell, the great economist. He says that, and I love this one, "The first lesson of economics is scarcity," right? There's never enough of anything to fully satisfy all those who want it, whether it's healthcare or what have you. He goes on to say, instead, the first lesson of politics is to disregard the first lesson of economics. When these regulations are drafted and imposed, there is, I can only assume, no thought given to the full amount of consequences that these regulations will produce. We're seeing it with Obamacare. The study, in fact, it was really interesting. The thing that you're referencing is from the Daily Caller, where they report on a survey of 600 doctors nationwide, random selection, by the organization's name is the Doctor Patient Medical Association. According to their survey, 83% of American physicians have considered leaving their practices over this health care reform law, right? So whether they're going to do so, they think they might, depending on how things become implemented and the taxes and regulations. These are the very people whose services are being, you know, pimped out to the American public through Obamacare, through these laws, to make them more accessible to those who can't afford them. And what's happening? These people are deciding, because of the regulations, because of the costs, to altogether leave the practice. And so you're going to have even higher demand. You're going to have less ability to satisfy those demands. It's going to increase costs for all of us across the board. This is the fundamental problem that we face when government intervenes, even on a small scale, but especially in big scales like this, into the economy with Obamacare. The unintended consequences that are produced, the havoc that is wreaked, the costs that are driven up, it's really something that any free market loving person needs to reject because it raises costs on the rest of us.
Yeah, this is, it really is a scary, scary thing. And everybody right now, I think the people who don't understand what it is have no clue what's coming down the pike. Mm-hmm. They have no clue. And it's all of these weird, the low-hanging fruit, obviously, is the tax and the cost, but it's these kind of unintended consequences. Now, all of a sudden, health. I mean, when you reduce the supply of anything, you remove 83% of anything from a market, and you take that supply away, and the demand stays the same, the price shoots up.
Yeah, I mean, imagine the gasoline supply shrinking by 83%, yet people still need to get to work and to the grocery store, and they want to go on vacations. The demand is still there. You're simply going to be paying far more because the more scarce supply has much higher demand, so people can charge more for it, and they're going to charge more for it. The same thing is going to happen with medical care. People claim that, well, your insurance premiums will go down. This is simply not true. It is a delusion. It is a fantasy. It has never been that way when government intervenes. It always gets, you know, less quality, more expensive. The same thing is going to happen, but on a significantly larger scale, in my view, with Obamacare.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I wish people would stop calling it Obamacare and call it the Affordable Care Act, because it continues that Orwellian terminology, like Patriot Act and stuff, you know? All right, guys, come on back. Talking more about this craziness, and talk to Connor about if he can get Governor Herbert to change his tune.
Politicians may try to convince you.
Help me place this call. See the number on the matchbook is old and faded.
All right, guys, welcome back. Mental Self Defense Radio. I am Jake Shannon. 2:30, well, we're after 2:30 on a Tuesday, so that means it is time for more of the Boyack Review. Connor, now I know since you launched Libertas last week, you guys have already been kind of full bore launching, and one of the things you're doing is about Obamacare. Is that right?
Yeah, it is. We launched Libertas Institute last Monday, so it's been just over a week now. And we have, within Libertas Institute, we have four different centers, four different areas of focus. That's individual liberty, private property, free enterprise. Those are the three kind of internal ones to Utah, to our state government. The fourth center is an external one. It's the Center for 10th Amendment Studies. And that's basically to try and push back through nullification and other methods against the federal government to reclaim the powers that they have usurped that are unconstitutional, so that those can be returned to the state, or even better yet, to the people individually. And so it's through that Center for 10th Amendment Studies that we've launched our most recent and probably one of the first activism projects through Libertas Institute. So yesterday, we launched a petition to nullify Obamacare. Now, it's a bit tricky how that has to go about here in Utah. For the benefit of those listeners who don't know, we have a part-time legislature in Utah that meets for 45 days beginning in January. So, and then, of course, there's a couple interim sessions sprinkled throughout the year, but they are currently not meeting. And so to nullify Obamacare, you know, that's a legislative function, or whatever form that resistance might take. It doesn't have to be direct nullification, but that is kind of the end goal of what we're pushing. The legislature would have to be brought together, and that is something the governor has to do. The governor has to call a special session. Many people might have heard in the news recently, with all the fireworks, there was a bit of a stink made in the public that people were clamoring for the governor to call a special session to, you know, have the legislature draft legislation banning, you know, fireworks or target shooting and things like that. So there's that was a bit of discussion about the governor's power to call together a special session of the legislature. We are aiming to do the same. Our initial goal was 250 signatures on this petition, which we blew by in a matter of like 5 hours. By day's end yesterday, we had well over 400 signatures. Currently, we're almost pushing 600 signatures, so this has been fairly viral. It's taken off here in the Utah Liberty community, but, you know, just in the Republican primary alone here in Utah, we had 10,000 people vote for Ron Paul, just as a single snapshot to convey, you know, then you could give numbers of the Libertarian Party and independents. And we have a lot of liberty-minded people here in Utah. Our goal at Libertas Institute is to try and unify them and give them a voice. So much of what we've done, these activism projects, these educational initiatives, has been so disjointed. I mean, I've been extremely involved over the years in doing a lot of these things, and every time a new project is formed, it seems like we have to start from scratch. There's no structure, there's no capital, there's no, you know, network and resources. It's a one-off every time. So through Libertas Institute, we're trying to have a bit more formal structure so that these things can be spun up a lot more quickly, they can be funded a lot better, they can be much more effective, that we have a network, an email list, and other resources to get the word out a lot better. So we've been successful just since yesterday. Like I said, we've almost got 600 signatures. If anyone wants to go sign, and I encourage all of your listeners, your liberty-minded listeners, to go sign it, there's a convenient URL. If you just go to opposeobamacare.com, right, that will redirect to our website for Libertas Institute, right to the petition. But it's opposeobamacare.com. And when you go there, you'll see the petition text. You'll be able to fill it out in literally 10 seconds. You can add some custom comments if you want. What's nice about...
Now, hold on just a second, Connor.
Sure.
I hate to interrupt, but we've got a caller. He's been patiently holding here. I just want to bring him in for a second. He's got some questions or maybe a comment. Is that okay?
Sure, let's do it.
All right, hold on just a sec. Dwight, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, man, shoot.
Okay, I just had kind of a question to Connor and you as well, as to, you know, what we're addressing and why we're not talking about certain things, because to me this is kind of like the government looking at something and kind of like Western medicine. Instead of actually looking at a something that is causing a problem, we look at a symptom, and then we try to put a Band-Aid on a symptom, which I'm kind of equating to the ACA, whether you want to call it Romneycare, Obamacare, whatever. And it seems to me that, you know, it's one of the jobs of Congress to regulate interstate commerce, which means, you know, we should be able to say along state lines, why don't we allow some competition, and especially with health care, if we allowed more people to come across the state line to give or supply health care, we would have competition like crazy, and then we would have our rates come way down, and we wouldn't have a situation where we have so many people that don't have so-called affordable health care.
Right.
But nobody seems to want to talk about that.
Yeah, no, I think, sorry, what was your name?
Dwight.
Dwight, I think you raise a really good point, and I think you're dead on. One of our our aims with this is kind of throw mud against the wall and see what sticks. Like, clearly we would love Congress to pass legislation like that to open up the competition to really, it's like, you know, legalizing competition between currency, right? We fret about the Federal Reserve's notes so much, but if we simply legalize competition, that would solve so many of our problems. So we absolutely support that. This is one of many efforts that we're trying to do. In fact, I wrote an op-ed a few weeks ago in the Daily Caller, or months ago, I guess, saying that I almost, in a semi-sarcastic way, hoped that the Supreme Court would uphold the constitutionality of Obamacare, because their doing so would create so much fury in conservative and constitutional and libertarian circles that people would be saying, well, great, now the lawyers, the black-robed lawyers from on high have issued their decree, what can we do now? And that questioning, that frustration would hopefully lead them towards things like what we're promoting with nullification or interposition, these tools whereby the states can push back. So we think there are certain things that the Congress can do. They can certainly remove subject matter jurisdiction from the Supreme Court, so they can't have any say. They can legalize competition, as you know, between states for health care, you know, insurance providers and the like. There are things that the federal government can do. What we're trying to do is at a more local level, where we can apply our resources and get a return on our political investment much better, rather than trying to change things through the federal government. In my political involvement, that's always, it just brought frustration, because for every good thing you get done, 50,000 bad things are being done. It's so hard to get good change at the federal level. We think that the state-based solution is probably a more effective one for the time and the money that people want to invest. But again, like I said, it's just one of many things that we can do, we should be doing, we should be promoting exactly what you're saying. And so I agree, that's something definitely we support.
Sounds good.
All right, Dwight, I appreciate the call. Anything else
Thanks,
to add,
Dwight.
Buddy?
That's it for now.
All right, man. I appreciate it. Don't be a stranger, okay?
Thanks.
All right. So, Connor, I'm sorry, you know, before we brought him in, you were kind of on a roll, and I hated to...
No, and that was a good question. I'm glad you brought him on. You know, I was just saying that we're trying... So every time someone comes to this petition, which, again, is at opposeobamacare.com, every time someone fills that out, it's not like this petition is just a list of people's names sitting out there on the Internet that maybe, hey, we'll send to the governor when it's done, and he can kind of scroll through them. Every time someone fills it out, it generates an email that goes both to the governor's campaign email address and to his gubernatorial official email address. And so we are sending these petitions via email immediately, directly to the governor, and you know, hoping that he pays attention. We've got some media pushes that we'll be doing in upcoming days to hopefully increase the pressure to maintain the dialogue. But really the thing that's speaking right now is the numbers. You know, the general rule for political involvement is that, you know, I've heard different things, but that for every one person who contacts a government official, that's, you know, 100 other people or 1,000 other people. The general rule is that so many people agree and are like-minded with this, but they don't voice their opinion. So when someone does voice their opinion, they are representative of so many more like them. So the more we get, the better. We're at 587 right now. And so we're just hoping to increase those numbers and continue to show the governor that really he needs to be a leader on this issue. We've seen, you know, Bobby Jindal and Rick Perry and other governors, if not totally rejecting Obamacare and saying, you know, they won't implement the health care exchanges, they're not going to do the Medicaid thing. There has been some resistance with governors. We would love to see Governor Herbert stand up. In fact, the petition is based almost entirely upon a statement made by the governor himself during his inauguration speech last year. He stated, and I quote, "As a state, we will advocate states' rights and we will vigorously resist the increasing burden of federal intrusion into our lives," end quote. So we would love to see the governor fulfill his promise and stand up, you know, stand by what he said. And, you know, we're simply inviting him to do exactly what he said he would do, and that is to vigorously resist the increasing burden of federal intrusion into our lives. This Obamacare, you know, legislation, whatever you want to call it, is a significant burden. We've seen it just with these initial unintended consequences. We're going to see it, and I can almost promise this, we're going to see it on a far larger scale as it begins to be implemented. It's going to create a very chaotic situation in the marketplace. And this is entirely an intrusion of the federal government's part. It is, in the governor's words, an increasing burden. So we would love him, again, in his own words, to vigorously resist it. The first step, you know, we don't know what the legislature would pass. Maybe it would be a fantastic nullification legislation. Maybe they would do something different. We simply want to give the people's quote-unquote, you know, representatives an opportunity to meet, to discuss this somewhat of immediacy. People say, well, the next general session's in January, why can't we wait till then? My worry is that the passion, the political interest, the will to do something fizzles out over time, and the sooner we can respond to this, the sooner we can apply the current political pressure and passion to resolving the issue and to tackling it, I think the better. I think if we wait too long, there won't be as much interest, the public won't be as concerned about it, people will have forgotten and moved on. I think we need to capitalize on the immediacy of this issue with the Supreme Court's ruling recently and allow the people's representatives to organize, to draft legislation, to put it on the governor's desk. And who knows, maybe the governor wouldn't sign whatever the legislature comes up with, but at least giving them the opportunity to organize and to do something. I think the situation calls for it. I think the impending and supposedly unintended consequences of Obamacare merit a response, merit organizing the legislature. We'd love to see the governor stand by his words and do it.
Yeah, I love that. And the URL is, what is that again?
It is opposeobamacare.com.
Man, how many of those cool URLs are you squatting on at this point?
I've got a lot, Jake.
I'm sure you do, because that's a good one, man. That is a really good one. So opposeobamacare.com.
Yeah, so that will take you to the Libertas Institute website. You can fill out a petition. Hopefully your listeners, being liberty-minded, will stick around on the website, click through, see whatever we've done. We've got some clever political cartoons. We've got the $2,000 essay contest. We're doing a lot of stuff. There's memberships that you can get with different, freebies and things that come with becoming a member. We're really stepping things up a notch for liberty, and I hope that people out there who feel kind of disconnected from other liberty activists and like-minded patriots here in Utah, I hope they'll look into us and try and unite their voice with us, support us on what we're doing, join our email list, and let us try and unify the thousands of people we have in Utah who maybe feel a bit isolated. We really need to gather. There's strength in numbers, whether it's opposing Obamacare or the 40,000 other things that we're going to be trying to change here in Utah and at the federal level as well. We need support, and that really comes from people one at a time just doing things like this, signing a petition, donating, sharing an article on Facebook, whatever it is. We hope that people will see Libertas Institute as the vehicle to advance the cause of liberty here in Utah.
That's awesome. Hey, so again, one last time, it's Oppose Obamacare, is that right?
Yeah, Oppose Obamacare. You can just go to the Libertas Institute website, which is libertasutah.org, but conveniently, to take you straight to the petition for those who want to sign it, it is opposeobamacare.com.
Awesome, awesome. Good stuff as usual. Yeah, that's it's a little scary because I do like calling it, like I said earlier, the Affordable Care Act, because if, in fact, even half of the 43% who are contemplating quitting, half of them drop out, it's not going to be affordable. Like, mm-hmm. The Patriot Act's not patriotic and all that kind of thing. So, yeah, very good point, guys. Check it out, opposeobamacare.com. Go sign the petition. Maybe we can get Herbert to actually live up to his claims. That'd be nice. Okay, Connor, great job. Appreciate it again, as always. And I won't be here, but you'll be here next week. So I'll be able to tune in from the UK or something. So
either way, have a great trip. Hope it goes well.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. All right, guys, the Boyack Review every Tuesday here. Always thrilled to have Connor speaking his opinion.